Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I am Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And today we're going to conclude our epic two-part episode about CES 2013 and the adventures of Jonathan in Vegas. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about health.
Health? What does Fitness. That have to do with technology?
Everything, as it turns out. Well, first of all, the trend of creating fitness tech has not slowed down at all. I saw lots and lots of examples of various gadgets that will track how many steps you take and upload that data in some way or analyze your activity in various ways to let you know exactly how active or not active
you are. Which is really cool. And I think a lot of people are, if my Facebook feed is any indication, using that kind of thing to just kind of crowdsource their own ability to level up in health. That's the nerdiest thing that I've said in a very long time, and I'm podcasting about tech things right now, so that's really impressive. It's a great motivation to be able to connect with other people and share that sort of.
Yeah, I've seen people who use things like the Fitbit as a means of competing against their friends, where you know how many steps they log, and then they see how many their steps their friend logs, and they're like, "Ooh, I need to fit another 1,500 steps so that I can beat them." And you know, in the end, we're talking about activity and exercise and a healthier lifestyle. So even though there might be some sort of goofy competitive edge on one side,
that's great.
Yeah, the outcome is fantastic.
Yeah, I heard that Fitbit actually had a new piece of tech called the Fitbit Flex, which is an activity tracker bracelet that you basically just wear all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And very pretty. It's very pretty. In the United States, it's on sale for pre-order for $99.95, as I recall.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, we're talking $100, but it does track all this information, and then you can actually view it through various apps or programs and get more of an insight into what your activity levels mean for your general health. And this means that you can use that information to try and adopt a healthier lifestyle, or, you know, maybe you realize, like, I need to make more time in my day for this sort of thing because it is important to me in order to have a happier life experience. I mean, the healthier we are in general, we tend to be happier.
You know, that is actually a science fact that has been proven. Yeah. That healthier people are happier. It's better quality of life.
Yeah. Poor health means higher stress levels, which in turn leads to more poor health.
Worse health,
yeah. It's a terrible, terrible cycle, and we got to get out of that. So,
yeah.
Speaking of terrible cycles, no. I saw a lot of exercise equipment, but one of the things I saw was kind of interesting. It was actually, I think it was up for one of the CES Innovation Awards. It was a thing that you would attach to a stationary exercise bike that will allow you to control the bike's pressure and everything so that, you know, you would have greater resistance.
Uh-huh.
You could control it from a smartphone. So in other words, you think, like, I want to go up a hill now. And on your smartphone, which is already playing your music,
uh-huh,
you just go ahead and adjust this little thing, and suddenly you're – now, I don't know how necessary that is. I guess it depends upon what kind of stationary bike you're riding. But I thought it was an interesting use of health technology.
Yeah, that's great. The big one that I heard about was the RP Vita by iRobot and InTouch, which it stands for Remote Presence Virtual and Independent Telemedicine Assistant. Which means that it's a hospital butler, essentially.
Yeah, it's Jarvis for the hospital.
It lets you telecommunicate with your doctor if he's in a remote he or she. I'm sorry, that was terrible. I'm the worst feminist.
I'm pretty bad too.
If your doctor is in a remote location, you can see them. You can plug your ultrasound or whatever other equipment into this thing, and it will send all of your biomedical statistics over there. Really great for emergency situations and other things.
Like some remote locations where getting a mm-hmm. doctor there might not be easy to do, but a doctor could take a look at that data and find out, like, oh no, we really do need to send medical help there. Or they could say, this is something that you can treat on your own, or perhaps even say, this is something you can do until we can get help to you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a cool way of using technology to help people. There was one other one I wanted to talk about in this area, which kind of relates back to the sports stuff in a way. And it was Belkin had what was called the Wemo Baby Monitor. Now, Wemo is a technology that they've used for things like home automation and smartphone control. You know, you were talking about controlling everything from your smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Wemo technology is all about that. Things like controlling lights from your phone.
Right.
Things
cool.
like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Wemo Baby Monitor is a device that has a crying algorithm. It has an algorithm that's designed to pick up sound and distinguish one sound from another, and it's specifically mm-hmm. meant to alert you when your baby cries. So when your baby cries, you get a message on your phone saying, hey, baby's not happy, you might want to go check on baby. But if a big truck goes by and the noise is loud enough to hear inside the house, the monitor doesn't send you a false positive saying baby's crying.
Mm-hmm.
It also does not send you a message saying a big truck just went by.
that's good. That would get a little bit tedious.
Yeah, it'd be like, wow, I'm getting a lot of data about the noises coming from baby's room. But the other thing that this device does is through a partnership with a piece of software called Evo, it tracks the information about your baby's crying habits and sleep patterns. So it actually plots this information so that parents can see when their baby is crying, when their baby is sleeping. And perhaps if they see that the baby is crying at a consistent time each day, maybe they change the feeding schedule.
Feeding schedule? Or
maybe it might be that there's some other environmental factor that is based upon time that they can look into to make their baby a happier baby.
Yeah.
So the idea is that to use this data in a way to become a better parent. And the reason why I say it reminds me of the fitness information is because a lot of the fitness gear is all about tracking your activity and then relating that information to you in a way that is meaningful.
It's consumable.
Right. And that's what, when we talk about the Internet of Things, that's a big element of the Internet of Things. It's this idea that we're going to incorporate not just connectivity to the Internet, But the ability for various stuff to sense what is going on in our environment and send us information that we can understand so that we might
improve that environment.
Right. Improve the environment or improve our own interaction within that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, there's always the opportunity for us to obsess over this data in ways that, you know, they didn't necessarily intend, but that's a human thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's all a tiny bit creepy, a little bit Big Brother here and there.
Yeah.
I get a little bit weirded out by the things around me watching me.
It all depends on where the data is going to.
Well, absolutely.
Like, if the data is just coming straight to you, then you're just like, you start to micromanage your own behavior.
Uh-huh.
But if the data is going to someone else first, then you're like, oh, great. Now they know.
They're
going to
know everything.
Yeah, they know how many times I go to the refrigerator and open the door and not actually get anything out, but just stare and then close the door and walk away. That's, you know. And then they're going to send me an email about how wasteful I am.
But hopefully no one is bored enough to watch and judge that data. Fingers crossed.
I don't know. I met some interesting people at CES. But anyway, yeah. So that's health technology. We also had a lot of car technology. Now, some of that was things like various new kinds of car stereos, which, mm-hmm. you know, even louder and more bassier than before. But, I mean, that has a place, right? But it's not something that – I mean, unless you write about specifically about car sound systems, it's not terribly interesting to a general technology.
To the average consumer, yeah. Sure. The really interesting thing that I saw was Audi's self-driving car.
Yeah, Lexus also had a car that was practically self-driving. It had this is technology that we've seen developed and implemented into cars. It's just on a level that goes beyond what we normally see in the consumer marketplace. So things like lane change software that mm-hmm. helps you change lanes safely, or collision detection, or automatic braking, or the parking assist features.
Right. Parking assist being where, you know, if you have your car parked in, it has to be a specialized garage outfitted with this array of laser scanners so that your car knows where it is. But,
yeah.
But you can then, like Batman, just press a button on your smartphone and call your car to you.
Right.
And it will just drive up from
then,
the garage.
Then the Joker will attack Gotham and you have to be on your way to save the world. That's the way that works.
Like you do.
Yeah. Like a boss, as my buddies say. Yeah, both Lexus and Audi were showing off some features of this. And Toyota's been really, really active in developing self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
That news broke just as CES was starting. There was news about this Toyota self-driving car prototype. And there was a lot of excitement around this because not to say that all cars are going to be driving themselves within a few generations.
Yeah, we're a little bit off from that.
But even if that technology is capable, none of these car manufacturers were suggesting that that's going to become the norm. They were saying that this is the technology that will make us all safer drivers. And if we go beyond that, if we start creating networks that these cars can communicate to in a way that protects our privacy, because we don't want the world to know where we're going all the time.
No.
But in a way that allows the infrastructure to adapt so that traffic becomes less of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you are in a city that's outfitted with one of these networks, and granted, this is far into the future because it would require a huge infrastructure change.
Mm-hmm.
But you're in a city where this is a reality. Then your car could navigate through the city without the problem of traffic. If you're going one way, if a lot of cars are going one way, the traffic lights could adapt dynamically to the flows of traffic so that, you know, you don't sit mm-hmm. there and wonder, like, why is this light red for so long? There's no one coming the other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be less likely to happen.
Or if there was an accident somewhere, your car could automatically route you through a different way.
Right. Or you could get to a point where there are no more accidents. That would be nice.
Hey, that would be lovely. Let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. and you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And now back to the show.
So, Lauren, I know you're really eager to talk about the next category of stuff, which is gaming technology.
I am. I'm excited about it. You, I think you said in your, I listened to your podcast with Chris about 2012
yeah.
CES, and you said that you had seen Project Fiona there.
Yes, Project Fiona
has since become the Razor Edge.
Yes, and that's not a finishing move in the WWE in this case.
That reference just whooshed right over my head.
Razor Ramon?
It's
just, what? Okay.
Incredible, I know.
I need to educate Lauren, but we can do that after the show. The Razor Edge is a gaming tablet, and this is a heavy-duty tablet. It's a Windows 8 machine capable of running full video games on it. You can run games and use the tablet, like tilting the tablet to make it do stuff. Or if you want to spring for an optional case, the Razer Edge Pro version at least has a case that has controllers built into the sides.
The buttons and thumbsticks that you would expect from any other controller.
Right. So you can play first-person shooters or other types of games directly from that. The resolution was amazing. The animation, fantastic video gameplay. I mean, it looked sharp.
I mean, we're talking like 48 gigs of RAM, depending on what model.
Yeah. This was a very impressive piece of technology. And they had some where you were using, I believe it was HDMI out, to larger displays.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So they were running games on this tablet, but showing it on the big display. So that was kind of fun too.
And I wonder if they could start integrating stuff like the Wii U does with, having a small screen, big screen.
That would be interesting. I wonder, I assume you could do that where you would have the HDMI feed out be different from what you're actually looking at on the screen. I don't know that there's any reason why you couldn't do that. But as far as I know, no one's actually developed that. Now, I could be wrong.
Get on that, somebody.
Yeah, someone do that thing, she said. But yeah, that was pretty impressive. That one, as I recall, there were two models, a basic model and a pro model. And the basic model, I think, is going to retail for around just under $1,000.
Just under $1,000, then going up to like
$1,300 for mm-hmm. the pro model. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a healthy chunk of change for a tablet. But again, this is a fully functional computer tablet. Like this is not some stripped down mobile device. This is a full computer in tablet form.
Yeah. Yeah, which just by itself I think is completely fascinating, because the problem that I have with tablets anyways, the reason that I don't own one, is that they're not powerful enough for me to do what I want to do with stuff. You know, I need something that's going to run some kind of photo editing program and,
sure,
you know, yeah, also Microsoft Word. And
so. I had the same issue when I was, you know, I eventually did buy a tablet. I very rarely use my tablet, which, again, and I've said this before, it proves to me that the tablet form factor just isn't where I need it to be, mm-hmm, for it to be a truly useful, indispensable part of my tech life.
Right.
Now, I know other people who, you know, they never drop their tablets constantly in their hands, and they have plenty of reasons why they use it, which is great. It's just not the way I use stuff. Beyond that, in gaming technology, you also had the NVIDIA Shield, Project Shield, which was a big secret. I mean, when that was unveiled on the floor, there was an audible gasp.
Cool.
Yeah, no, it was pretty neat.
That's
it was
fun.
So if you don't know what the NVIDIA Shield is, imagine an Xbox controller, because that's what it looks
like.
That's
what it looks like.
It's not an Xbox controller, but it kind of looks like one. And, think of it as having a blank face. So there's no buttons, there's no thumbsticks or anything. It's just a blank face.
Okay.
But then you open up a clamshell, and it opens to reveal the buttons and thumbsticks underneath the clamshell, and on the underside of the clamshell is a screen.
Huh.
It's a 5-inch screen, touch screen.
Uh-huh.
So the Shield is a controller and screen all in one, and it does have this clamshell design, so you open it and close it. It runs a version of Android, so, mm-hmm, you can play Android-based games anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
It can be stored locally on that device. But the selling point is that it has software that allows you to stream content from a PC over Wi-Fi to the Project Shield controller. So you can play full PC games on this little controller over the screen. Now, the big downside, as far as I'm concerned, is that you have to be over Wi-Fi to do this. Because
right, you have to be tethered to a PC,
right,
so, you know.
The game is actually running on the PC, not on the Shield. Like,
yeah,
the Shield, if you've heard of the OnLive video game consoles, it's the same sort of thing where somewhere out in the cloud there's a machine running the game, and you are just running you're running a window that's looking into it. Latency didn't seem to be a problem. It seemed very responsive. So it wasn't like there was a problem between when you pressed a button and when your character did something. It seemed pretty seamless. But it makes me wonder, how practical is this? I mean, are there a lot of gamers who would love to play more computer games, but they don't like having to sit at their computer?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe, you know, it's for the adventurous types, if they really want to play Call of Duty from the bathtub, or...
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not sure. You know,
the other problem I had was that, you know, you could argue, well, it also has an HDMI out, so you could play it on your
television.
But you could build a video game gaming rig that you can play on the TV already. And there's some companies like Valve that make that really easy to
do.
And,
you know, it's about to get easier. I heard that Valve was also there mostly to talk to hardware partners about Steambox.
Yeah. Yep. Steambox is one of those things that we still don't know a whole lot about, other than the fact that it's on its way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we understand that it'll probably be a pretty locked down experience, but it should be about, you know, as good an experience as you can expect to get with a system that you cannot customize yourself.
Right, right.
You know, it's meant for the consumer who wants something they can plug into their entertainment system without having to worry about installing drivers or managing other kinds of connections. So serious gamers have been doing this stuff on their own already for ages, but now it's getting to the point where the average consumer, who may not have that kind of technological savvy,
right,
can do it easily.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for the PC gamer who wants to also be a console, it's blurring the line between PC and console.
Yeah,
and I think
it's
fascinating, and I'm not entirely sure what space it has.
I'm happy to see it happen, simply because I think any time you have more competition within a field, it benefits the consumer.
Of course, absolutely.
So it puts pressure, like all of these products put pressure on companies like Microsoft and Sony, because these could potentially start to siphon away gamers from the established consoles.
Absolutely.
Nintendo should already be worried. That's why I didn't mention Nintendo. No, they really should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Nintendo. Don't get me wrong. But I think the Wii U is not enough to answer the competition.
I agree. We talked about this one in our 2013 predictions show. Yeah. And I do think that, you know, I like the Wii U. I like the concept. But I'm just not sure if it's...
Yep. No, I'm there with you.
But some of the smaller players, there was the Oculus Rift.
Okay. This kind of transitions us into another discussion about how Kickstarter was an incredible presence at CES. Not directly, but there were projects that had received Kickstarter backing that had a presence at CES. And you got to think, you know, without that crowdfunding, they never could have made it out to CES.
Oh, yeah.
And yet there they were showing stuff off. And these are enterprising, innovative individuals or groups that are coming up with technologies that are surprising people. And I heard several people within the technology journalism field say their opinion is that some of these big companies, they have so many different lines of products that they have to nurture and maintain that it's really hard to innovate and create new stuff.
Absolutely.
Because they're mostly looking at, okay, well, what features can we add to this existing stuff so that we continue to sell them?
Yeah, so that we get this big product name to continue.
Whereas with these small groups, they're saying, what cool stuff can we make happen? And then the Oculus Rift is a virtual reality gaming headset that has stereoscopic screens. So there's a screen dedicated to each eye that gives you a 3D effect when you put it on. And it's really amazing. There's the latency is not an issue, so you don't get this swimmy effect when you turn your head and look around. And you can control it using a video game controller. They even showed off some Unreal Tournament.
Oh, cool!
Using this thing, so it's like you are actually there. And instead of, they talked about how it helped, or I saw one journalist talk about how it helped. Even out the playing field between console-based gamers who use controllers and PC-based gamers who use the keyboard-mouse setup, because that's one of those things. People who use keyboard and mouse are like, well, I'm much more accurate and fast. If you have a controller, you're slower. Well, with this, you aimed by looking at stuff. You're like, all right, let's see how fast your mouse is now, buddy boy. But that was a huge success story. It was a Kickstarter-backed project that actually had space at CES.
And it's still not out for consumer purchase yet. They're in the development or developer kit stage.
Yeah, so. They're offering up kits for developers and what they call hardcore enthusiasts. So if you're an enthusiast who doesn't care that there's not really any content to play. You can get one of these. But that's the thing. That's why they call it developer kits, because they don't want consumers thinking, oh, I can get this
in something. I can get some play stuff on it right now.
I'm going to plug
tomorrow.
It into my Xbox. It doesn't work that way.
No.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
But you actually pre-ordered, I think, something at the
yes,
show,
I
didn't
did.
You?
Yes, I did. While I was at CES, I put in my pre-order for a Pebble smartwatch.
Which I'm kind of jealous about. If I had had the however many dollars it was when it was up on Kickstarter,
99.
Absolutely.
$99.
Man, did I really not have $99 at that
point? $150 now. So, but at $99, if you had backed at the $99 level or higher, you were given that would earn you a smartwatch, assuming that they made their goal. Now, mm-hmm. The big story about Pebble is their goal was $100,000. They raised $10 million.
The power of Kickstarter, kids. It's wonderful.
Wow. $10 million. And so they had to deal with some controversy. Controversy might be too strong a word, but some criticism, because they had originally anticipated they would start shipping the watches in September of 2012. That date came and went, and they didn't ship. But the explanation was actually quite logical. They said, well, originally we thought we were going to raise $100,000 and that we would produce maybe 2,000 watches. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do all of that in the United States, in a California facility that was a small facility that could handle 2,000 orders.
Yeah, yeah. They knew what they were dealing with and had some deadlines based on that.
Right. But then $10 million happened. And then they realized, well, in order to do this, we need to actually shift to a much larger manufacturing process. And they went overseas from mm-hmm. manufacturing. That complicated the whole supply chain. It made things slower. So they said, yeah, it turns out it was way more complex than what we had originally anticipated, which is why we missed it. But we will start shipping the smartwatches to Kickstarter backers starting January 23rd. It would take 6 to 8 weeks to get all the Kickstarter orders out. And they were going to deliver them in the order that people backed the project.
Wow.
So if you were one of those first people who backed the project, you're going to get your watch first.
That's great.
Now, I pre-ordered while I was there, so I'm going to have a few months before I get mine.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry red, by the way. That's the color I went with. They have 5 colors available. I went with cherry red.
Sounds very stylish.
If you guys start watching Tech Stuff videos and you see me wearing a cherry red watch, that means my Pebble watch finally arrived. But yeah, they were another Kickstarter project that had a presence at the floor, and that's amazing. You know, there was a time where unless you were a major player, you didn't have a presence at CES. If you did have a presence and you weren't a major player, it was a tiny little booth that was shoved way off in one corner that
yeah.
most people would never see.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool. And then we got the weird stuff.
We do the weird stuff. We do not do the weird stuff. I can't even say that here.
No,
excellent.
You can say that we do the weird stuff.
Okay.
That's a Dr. Horrible reference that all of our listeners will appreciate. 4 sweater vests. Yeah, not all of this is weird, but it's stuff that doesn't easily fit into other categories. There was the track dot luggage sensor.
Right.
And that has – it was a battery operated – or it is a battery operated sensor that will text you where your luggage is. So let's say you go traveling, you get to the airport, you check your bag. It happens to have one of these trackers inside it. It will text you where it is. So let's say you end up in San Francisco, but your bag is in Tierra del Fuego. It will send you a text message saying, "What the heck? I'm in Tierra del Fuego." It also has a Bluetooth sensor in it so that when it reaches your near you, assuming that you have your phone paired up to it, and it's mm-hmm. Once it comes into range, your phone will alert you so you'll know, oh, I need to look out for my bag.
Pay attention to.
Yeah. Let me look at all of the black bags there and figure out which one is mine. Oh, well, I got a message, so it's coming in. It's close. So that was kind of neat. There was the Plastic Logic had some flexible displays. This was not on the show floor. It was a closed door meeting that you had to RSVP to.
Ooh.
So I went to see it. These were really cool. There were these flexible displays that they were explaining in the future could be really, really flexible in more ways than one. They showed off an implementation that was pretty neat where they had a flexible e-paper display. So it's e-ink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's very low energy needed to create the image. They lay it down. It's showing a map. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a sheet of paper that's showing a map. They lay a second one, a blank one, next to the first one so that the edges overlap.
Okay.
And then the map extends automatically across both pages.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was just neat, right? And they explained that this was just a basic application that could be used in this sort of stuff. And mainly they're talking about using it for flexible displays so that you could create a display that conforms to a curved wall. But I could see so many more applications for this.
Absolutely.
And that was really exciting. So shout out to Plastic Logic. As for the weird, I've got a tie between the two weirdest things I saw.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, there are some weird stuff at CES that I never saw. There was the Happy Fork, which is a thing.
Yes, that is spelled H-A-P-I.
Yeah. It's a haptic feedback fork. And the concept, it's actually kind of interesting. The concept is that if you are eating and you're eating too fast, that can be unhealthy. You could eat more than you need to. It's something that can lead to overeating.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And thus can lead to weight gain or obesity.
Mm-hmm.
So what the haptic fork allows you to do is set an interval that you do not wish to exceed when it comes to putting your fork to your plate and bringing it to your mouth and going back to your plate again. And if you exceed this speed, then the haptic fork will vibrate in your hand to alert you to the fact that you are eating far too quickly and you need to slow down.
I'm not entirely positive that I need a smart fork in my life. I think that normal intelligence level forks are fine for me.
It will also tell you, by tracking your data, you can plug it into a computer and find out how many times and how frequently your fork went from plate to mouth. So then you can say, wow, not only did I eat quickly, I ate a lot, or at least I took a lot of bites.
Yeah, because there's a difference between the number of bites you're taking and the size of the bites you're taking.
That's true. If you grab a steak in one big stab and just eat the whole thing in one go, then your fork went to plate to mouth once.
That fork cannot tell the difference.
Yeah. No, there was no weight sensor or anything. And it also would allow you to remove the electronics component so that you could put shell into the dishwasher.
Yeah.
And you would charge it via USB, of course. So make sure your silverware is charged before you serve dinner.
Uh-huh.
The other weird thing was the Whee-Me robot. It's a massage robot.
Massage robot.
Yeah. You want to know what it looked like? I know you do, Lauren.
I'm
sure you've got some things running through your head.
More than anything.
Really boring, actually. So it looks like as far as the designs that are probably going through your head, imagine a remote control car, but it has kind of bumpy wheels.
Okay.
And it has sensors that tell it when it's getting toward the edge of your body so that it can reverse its motion. So it essentially is rolling over your back. And you lay down, face down, with this massage robot on your back, and mm-hmm. it just rolls across your back and gives you a massage that way.
I guess that's cool.
Yeah, it's not some sort of humanoid robot with, like...
Well, no. I mean, you know, nonetheless, I might be a terrible candidate for tech stuff co-hostery, because at a certain point, I'm like, I don't really want robots to touch me.
See, I was thinking, I was so sad you were not with me, because I would totally shoot a video segment with you laying down with a robot rolling across your back as I interview you.
No, we've agreed that you get to do the embarrassing things.
No. Embarrassing things, we totally have to share 50-50.
Crap.
I will get on the electronic saddle if you get the massage robot. That's the rule.
All right. Well, if that's the
something to look forward to in CES 2014, folks.
Huzzah!
All right. Well, that's just an overview of what I saw. Of course, there was so much more at this show. I mean, way more than we could ever talk about.
It's impossible to A, talk about it, and to B, even see and all of it when you're at this kind of thing.
Right.
So
the big themes I would walk away from were connectivity, smart applications, and ultra high definition. Those were the big ones that came back over and over and over again. But there was a lot of other stuff there too, and it's diversifying more and more each year. So you're seeing lots of breakout areas like technology specifically for senior citizens or green tech. Although that wasn't as big a thing this year, I'm worried that green tech was sort of a buzz trend that has already some of it's incorporated into technology mainstream already.
Yeah, I feel like it's mostly been incorporated. I think that people don't need to talk about it quite as much because all of the, you know, all of the efforts to conserve energy are useful for anyone who's putting any new kind of technology together. So they want to use it, hopefully.
I hope so. The other side of that is saying that, well, you know, Consumer Electronics Show ultimately is all about consumerism and consumption, and therefore is kind of antithetical to the whole green movement in the first place. And there's something to that. I mean, you walk around, you take a look at one of these show floors, and if you just sit there and think, this is a lot of stuff.
This is a lot of lights. We're running a lot of electronics right now.
Yeah. There's some conflict. But anyway, mostly it's kind of cool. So, if you guys have any suggestions, like if there's anything we talked about that you said, you know, that sounded interesting, but I really want to know more about that. How does ultra-high definition work? Or tell me more about this idea of being able to see two different screens on the same set or anything along those lines. Let us know. Send us an email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is techstuffhsw. Lauren and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Network.